Here we are again, and Lisa, we have a new addition to our family that kind of popped out.
Okay, I feel like I should smack you for saying popped out. I know how much work it is to give birth to a baby. Yes, we have Augustus Michael, and Juliana did do a home birth, but I think you are devaluing
did
her contribution.
Did I just upset every woman out there?
I hope so.
Wait a minute. No, seriously.
Pop out?
What I was trying to say is we've had him in our family now for 10 months, but he just came forth. And Julie is a trooper. She did it so amazingly at home. And the midwife came. And Lisa, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, I can't.
He's just beautiful.
You guys, this is really sad. I haven't met him yet. I've only seen him by picture because I came up from Australia and I was too sick to go over there. And any good grandmother should not go over and make her grandbaby sick. So I now am well. I have a little bit of a sexy voice, but I'm well. It's just residual. It's just residual right now.
Yeah.
And
but he's adorable.
So he's number four G baby.
And
I cannot
wait to meet him.
And hey, I kind of want to change to the Italian names for grandparents. I don't want to be G's anymore. I want you to be No No.
No No.
Yeah.
No, I'm Yes Yes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. So I would be.
All
Nona,
the promises of God
Nona,
are yea and amen.
And
I'm not no,
no
no. I'm yes yes.
Together we
so
can
if you
be
want
no
to call
knee.
Me yes yes, I'll be no yes knee. Yes. Listen, I want to talk because I'm just so burdened for the church in America, especially. I want to talk about the importance of the Word of God, the Scriptures. You know, God gave us His Word. Why? To direct our lives. And I want to read out of the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. James says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness." Now, that's a real interesting word, filthiness. It doesn't mean just blatant sins. It means things that are filthy with what? The world. God said to the children of Israel, cleanse off your garments. Get rid of the filth. Mm. What was the filth? The filth that they brought out of Egypt. There is a scent to the world, and that scent is what James has said, get rid of. All right? Don't even have the scent of the world on you. He's saying, get rid of all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. There's your blatant sin. And receive with meekness. Now, Lisa, tell me what the word meekness means to you.
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I can tell you what it means, and I can also tell you some examples of it.
I'd love to hear that.
Because a lot of times meekness is used to control women, like, you need to be meek. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. You're right. Meek means controlled strength. It means to be teachable. It means power under virtue. So like, I've got power, but I have it under the control of virtue.
Wow.
And two of the best examples of meekness in the Bible were Moses and Jesus. You know, they were both meek, but we also see that they were passionate. They were strong. They had conviction. They were on fire. That zeal for God's house had consumed them. And so meekness is not weakness. And so when we tell women in the church they need to be meek, they just need to have the same thing that men need to have, which is their strength and their control of virtue.
You know, I think of weakness. I think of those people riding those magnificent horses and they're jumping over all those obstacles. I don't know what you call that.
But equestrians?
Equestrians, yeah. And you look at the strength of those horses, and yet those horses have all that strength under control. That's basically what you're talking about. So receive with meekness the implanted word. Now that's what I love.
The implanted.
It's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to have it implanted in your heart. You know, the psalmist said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Not just the word gives light. It's the entrance. It's when it's implanted into our souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's writing to Christians. 15 times he says, Lisa, my brethren, in this book. He is not writing to people that are not saved. So he said that the word saves our souls, which means our souls aren't saved the moment we're born again.
Wait, what are you saying?
Explain that one.
Yeah, are you so now let's, because like we're going to get letters on that one.
Yeah.
So are you saying we're spiritually reborn, but our mind needs to be renewed.
Our soul is our mind,
personality
will,
needs
emotions,
to be
intellect.
Yes.
That
okay.
is a process. Salvation,
you know,
is a process.
A lot of people feel like the word spirit and soul are the same word.
Right.
So I think it's important that
but
we just
clarify. But let me prove to you it's not, because the word of God divides between spirit and soul.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Right? So our soul is, I believe, our mind, will, emotions, our intellect, and it also deals with an aspect of our inner being. But
would it also capture our personality?
I believe so, Lise. Yeah. I absolutely do. So our spirits are saved the moment we give our lives to Jesus. We repent of dead works. We give him the lordship of our life. We are brand new creation. We're made in the exact image and likeness of Jesus. Our bodies will be saved on the day that we see Jesus face to face. This earthly mortality will put on immortality. But our soul being saved is a process, and we are the ones that determine the speed of our soul being saved. And the speed is determined by this: but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's verse 22. So I read James 1:21. The very next verse tells us that when we obey the word of God, what happens is we get the implanted word into our lives. It takes root into us. And now our soul becomes more like Jesus. So our personality reflects him better. And let's face it, that's so important for the world, because the only Jesus the world's going to see is us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, those are some of my favorite scriptures. I know that, you know, being doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And I think a lot of people don't understand it. The hearer factor is they didn't have the written Bible when this was recorded. So the people were only hearing it. So they don't even have the tool set that we have.
Right.
I mean, they were just listening. We've got it in five different translations. We've got, you know, what that actually means, and, you know, five different translations on our shelf. And yet, how much application is that? Because when you don't live the word that you know, when you don't do it, you end up coming to this place where you are forgetful. You don't know what manner of man or woman you are. You forget what you've been redeemed from. You begin to look at the world. You know, I love how that continues to unpack in the book of James. So I'd love you to read that.
Well, then he goes on to say in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and
notice it didn't say like a woman. It said like a man
observing
himself.
For he observes himself, not herself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now let's stop right there.
And you know I'm joking on the man and the woman.
I know you're totally joking. Have you ever noticed that there are people that they're a certain way in church, and they walk out of church, and they become a different person? You know, the thing I love about you, Lisa, is the way you are in the pulpit is the way you are at home. And you're very transparent, open, and honest in the pulpit. And what James is saying is, as long as the word's being put in his face, this is the guy that doesn't have the implanted word. This is the guy that only hears the word, but it's not implanted. He's not a doer. He looks, and as long as the word's being spoken, oh yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. But then he walks away, and he's just like the world, because he forgets what manner of man he is. And that's what happens is, you know, this is why Paul said in the last days, people can go to church, they're going to go to conferences, they're going to go to meetings, they're going to be ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Their lives aren't going to be changed. They're not going to be transformed. So he goes on to say, "But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty," now I love how the word of God is called the law of liberty, "and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all he does."
You know, I love how the message actually does the difference in the ESV of look at and look into.
Oh, that's good.
Because I go through the checkout line at Target and I look at magazines.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at them.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to look into something, that's different. You know, I'm not going to look into what I'm reading on the headlines, but I'm going to look into the Word of God. It's going to become my filter. I'm going to begin to take it apart. I'm going to know how something works. And most Christians, they glance at. They don't take it apart. They don't know how it works. They don't know how to unpack it and put it back together in their lives. And when we are people that know how to practically outlive what the Word of God says, then we are doers and not hearers only. We are not just people that just hear about life. We actually exemplify that Christ transformed life. And it's that engrafted word that you talked about that is able to save our soul. So we're not talking about the salvation experience. We're talking about actually our soul coming in line with the regeneration of our spirit.
You know, the only Jesus this world's going to see is us. And if we're not transformed, I remember Jesus said, he said this in the Gospel of John when he was praying. He said, "I have sanctified myself," which means set myself apart to you, "so that the world might know that you sent me." The world will never see Jesus unless we set ourselves apart by the word of God. Our behavior has got to be above and beyond the behavior of the world. And I remember a secular Roman historian writing about the early church. He said, they were submitted to the Roman laws, but they lived above the laws.
That's
and
beautiful.
That got an unsaved Roman citizen who was a journalist, an historian, to identify Christians by how they lived, not by how they talked.
I love that 1 Corinthians 3:18-20, how it unpacks it. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thought of the wise, that they are futile. I know it says, let no one deceive himself, but women can deceive themselves as well. And the truth is something that you always say, the problem with deception is it's
deceiving.
Deceiving, exactly. So deception.
The person who's deceived believes with all their heart they're right, when in reality they're wrong.
So deception can cause things, people, circumstances, and counsel to appear differently than they truly are. Deception can make submission to God look like legalistic bondage.
Right.
Deception can make an enemy of your soul look like a friend.
Huh.
Deception has this ability to make evil look good and good look evil. Evil.
That's so
and
powerful.
We are in this day and this time right now where the power of deception has muddied the waters so that everything is blurred, so that we are not sure what to believe anymore.
You need to write that down in a book.
It is in a book, but
what
you're very
that?
Cute. It's in Without Rival.
Oh,
but anyway,
I'm not in that chapter yet.
No.
Oh, see, you're at the end of the book.
No,
I haven't gotten
there
I'm
yet. Not even. No, my goodness, no. It's like 60 pages. You just need to skip your
Can
chapters.
I say, as your
my
husband,
husband's reading the audiobook. I'm so proud of him.
I'm listening to the
listening,
audiobook.
Sorry.
It's hard to read an audiobook, but can I say, as your husband, I am so proud of you for just being a servant of God and releasing the word of God into the earth. So many lives are being touched and transformed. And Lisa,
baby, that's so sweet.
I'm just so
thankful
for you. Yeah, I never knew that when I married you 34 years ago, you would be touching the world with the way that God has touched your life. You would be touching so many others.
If I had known this, I would have been throwing up. But yes, it's just totally awesome.
You know, Lisa and I are so grateful that you've joined us today. And we just want to encourage you, go to iTunes and review this program if it's really ministering to you. And we love you guys. We'll see you soon.